I know, isn't it? Oh, or put my mic on. Good morning, everybody. How about all this sunshine? How many of you are going to be outside playing instead of mourning another Lions loss today? Kelly told me earlier this morning that 1 o'clock will be his nap time. This morning, I want to focus our time on something that Jesus taught out of Mark chapters 13 and 14 about keeping watch over our lives. Scriptures teach us that when we don't keep watch or stay alert to things around us, we are more prone to fall to temptation and fall to an enemy that wants to devour us. And if you want more victory over temptation and sin, then this is a message for you this morning. Those of us who grew up in the Midwest, we know a particular warning. And it's a warning that happens, and we just so happen to have one of those whistles right here at our corner. But when that blows, we usually know that there's a tornado that's been spotted, and that we need to take cover. We need to stay alert to what is going on around us, because when danger is imminent, then we need to stay alert. We need to take watch. And so growing up, my dad would keep watch in a very different way than I do. When he had heard that there would be a tornado watch or a warning, he'd go outside and just watch for conditions, and if it looked like it was getting really bad, then he would have us go down into the basement. When I know that something is taking place, I'll stay in the house, and I'll open up my computer, and I'll look at the radar. And I've gotten pretty good of pinpointing exactly where our house is at and seeing how this system is coming across. And who knows, maybe I can get a job as a newscaster, because you only have to be right 20% of the time, right? But when danger is imminent, you take cover and you stay alert, you keep watch. Well, a funny thing happened this summer when I was away at Camp Mission Meadows. I got done speaking to the kids at camp, and I went back to where I was staying, and about a half hour later, I heard tornado whistles going off. And I always hate it when something like that happens, when we've got kids at camp. I'm thinking, what do we do? I mean, where would we take the kids? And I'm sure camp has got a great strategy for doing that. I didn't hear any warnings about taking kids down to the basement of some sort or the other, and I flip open my computer, and there was no weather system coming through. I'm thinking, okay, this is strange. It's not Saturday at 1 o'clock, first Saturday of every month. So I didn't know what was going on, and I should have, because I grew up with this. It wasn't a tornado warning. It was a warning for volunteer fire department to come and fight a fire. They were to report. And I grew up with this. My grandpa was the fire chief up in Newberry, up in the UP. And their house was two doors away from this whistle that would go off any time that they were trying to draw the attention of the volunteer fire department to come together to fight these fires. When warnings are imminent, we take cover, we do something, we stay alert. And Jesus is going to be teaching in Mark chapter 13 and 14 about how we need to keep watch. In fact, there are multiple times throughout these two chapters when he talks about how we need to keep watch. The beginning of Mark 13 has Jesus and his disciples leaving the temple courts, and his disciples are making these remarks about how beautiful the architecture is. I mean, I love going into, you know, older parts of the city where they just have some beautiful buildings. They just don't make them like that anymore, just this beautiful architecture, and they're going, Lord, isn't this amazing? And then Jesus gives them the warning that no stone is going to be standing. Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. And he begins teaching them about the end times. And he gives them multiple signs of what's going to happen when the end comes. And what I want to do this morning is pick this up in verse 26, where Jesus talks about his return and the attitude of watchfulness that his disciples need to have as they look forward to his return. So Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse 6. I'm sorry, verse 26. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And then verse 33 is the first instance where Jesus talks about watchfulness and alertness, this watchfulness that his disciples need to have as they look forward to his coming. Verse 33, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task. And he tells the one at the door, the doorkeeper, keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. Now, just pause there for a moment. You know that he's not talking about physical sleep. That ought to be obvious. This is a metaphor. So it means do not let him find you being lazy and yielding to sin. And then he says this next line, which we can all say together. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Let's try that one more time. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. So just by a show of hands, how many of you are everyone? Anybody? Okay, I should see everybody. Jesus says, I say to everyone, watch. So three actions that we can take to keep us devoted to him and to keep us falling from sin. It comes right out of this passage. Be on guard, be alert, keep watch. Be on guard, be alert, keep watch. When he says to be on guard, it simply means to be observant. Observe and be watchful. When I'm riding the trails, and we've got some amazing trails right here in Dearborn and just off of Hines Drive, but when I'm biking these trails, I have to have my glasses on. I don't see distance very well. My fear sometimes is I might see you around town, and you're 30 feet from me, and you wave, and I don't know who you are. I have to have my glasses on in order to keep watch of my surroundings because I need to know when a root is coming up. I need to know when a hole is coming up. I need to know when a tree is coming up. That would be a good thing. And so I need to be watchful when I am out on the trails. What he's saying here is observe your physical surroundings. But the original word here means to see something physical, but bring it into the spiritual. Look with your eyes physically, but bring it into your heart spiritually. Have spiritual discernment and perception. Take what is seen physically into the non-physical and immaterial realm so that you can take the needed action. It's seeing things, but seeing things with a different perspective. As you begin to discipline yourself through prayer and through reading of the Word, you begin to see things differently. You might even see someone's attitude differently. It could be that you're working with someone and they're very difficult to work with, but because you see things differently, you start to pray for them instead of wanting to lash out at them. And so sometimes this word for guard can be translated as beware, be careful, consider, keep on seeing or looking. Jesus used this word multiple times when he talks about people seeing but not perceiving. The word guard is that word seeing. They were seeing with physical eyes, but they were not perceiving with spiritual understanding and discernment. When we sing this song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Join me. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. That's essentially a prayer that we would see things with a different perspective, that it wouldn't just be all about our eyes and what we see with our eyes, but that we would perceive them with spiritual understanding. And so Jesus in Mark 4:24 warns them to take care or to take heed of what they hear. So it's not just seeing with spiritual understanding and discernment, but also listening with spiritual understanding and discernment. So this word here, to be on guard, is actually used in a variety of places right here in chapter 13. It's used in verse 2, it's used in verse 5, it's used in verse 9, in 23, and in verse 33. And what I believe he's saying to us is guard your life with spiritual understanding and discernment. So be on guard. Be alert. This is from two words, and the first word means not. Everybody say not. It's not K-N-O-T, it's N-O-T. And the second word means sleeping. It's actually the word hypnos, where we get our word hypnosis, hypnotist. So it means be not sleeping. Nudge someone next to you if they start to doze off. You know, tell them, be not sleeping. Be on guard, be not sleeping is this word to be alert. And this word is only used four times, and one of the occurrences is in Luke's version of Jesus' teaching here. And so it says in Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. I just think about that for a second, because a lot of people feel like, I'm free, you know, I can live my life however I want to. And Jesus is saying, living your life however you want to actually pours more weight onto your life. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day, he's talking about the day that he returns, that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. And he says, be always on the watch and pray. He's essentially saying, be always not sleeping and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Be not sleeping. Stay awake. Don't fall asleep on the job. Stay alert and awake by praying so that you may be able to escape everything that's about to happen, but even more so that you might be able to stand in his presence. And there's this link between alertness, be not sleeping, and prayerfulness. And it's a connection that's made throughout the scriptures, but especially Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, where Paul is teaching this church in Ephesus, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Let's read this together. With this in mind, be alert, be not sleeping, and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Your ability to be alert depends on your willingness to be in prayer. Let me say it again. Your ability to be more alert, to see things in a different way, to be not sleeping, to stay awake to your situation, to what's going on around you. Your ability to be alert comes from your willingness to pray. We need to wake up to the reality around us. So be on guard with spiritual understanding and discernment. Stay awake to what is happening around you through prayer and keep watch. Be on guard, be alert, keep watch. Jesus uses the illustration of a doorkeeper keeping watch at night. And this word carries it with it, this idea of vigilance and diligence. If you are posting guard at a door, you cannot be lazy about your responsibility, because the safety of those in the house depends on your alertness at your post. If you're a doorkeeper or if you're on guard, whatever you want to call yourself, you have to be vigilant and you have to be diligent. It's being keenly watchful to detect danger, being on guard against danger. This exact word is used by Jesus in verse 34, 35, 37, And then in chapter 14, verse 34, 37, and 38, the person keeping watch in this way will give attention lest through negligence and laziness some destructive calamity comes upon them. It's being alert to the situation, to what's going on around you. Guard your life with spiritual understanding and discernment. Remain awake and alert through prayerful watchfulness, and keep watch for danger through disciplined, active diligence and vigilance. And so with this in mind, I want you to hear what Jesus has to say in chapter 14. In the first part of chapter 14, Jesus is anointed by a woman in Bethany, and they share Passover together in an upper room later on that night. This was the evening of the first day of the festival of unleavened bread. And after his last supper with his disciples, he warns them that they will all fall away, and that Peter himself would deny Jesus three times. And not just Peter, but all of his disciples emphatically say that this is not going to happen, that they would never disown Jesus. And that is essentially what we are tempted to do. When we're talking about temptation in this passage, the temptation, the main temptation, is that we would disown Jesus, that we would disregard Jesus, that we would pay Jesus no attention. And so what I want to do is I want to pick up the reading in verse 32. So Mark chapter 14, verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." And he said to them, "Stay here and keep watch." Jesus told Peter, James, and John to stay there and to keep watch. Guard us with spiritual understanding and discernment. Remain awake and alert through prayerful watchfulness. Keep watch for danger through disciplined, active diligence and vigilance. So going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." In fact, let's say this together. Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter, all I asked, that for 1 hour you guard us with spiritual understanding and discernment. That for 1 hour, just to remain awake and alert through prayerful watchfulness. I needed you just for 1 hour, just to stay vigilant and diligent to guard us. I needed you for 1 hour to watch your physical surroundings with your physical eyes, but bring it into the spiritual realm. See them through spiritual understanding and discernment. For the danger coming upon us is not people coming to arrest me. The danger coming upon us is not me being beaten. The danger coming upon us is not me being crucified. Because I'm going to lay my life down on my own. Nobody is taking my life from me. I'm laying my life down on my own. But the danger, Peter, is that if you don't stay watchful, what can take place is that you will fall into temptation. Remain awake and alert through prayerful watchfulness, or you'll get lulled to sleep by what the world wants to do in you and through you. You can get hypnotized to do whatever the devil is dangling before you. Wake up, stay alert, be alert, and of sober mind. I'm sure you've heard this before. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So keep watch for danger through disciplined, active vigilance. Don't let up, don't get lazy, don't be negligent, but be diligent and vigilant. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is not willing to obey. The flesh is not willing to submit. The flesh is not willing to submit itself to the Father's leadership. So what you need to do is starve your flesh. Starve that part of you that does not want to submit to the Father's will. Starve that part of you that will not follow the Father's leading. For those who live according to the flesh think about the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit think about the things of the Spirit. For Paul says, the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unable. Everybody say unable. It is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, see, if you have the Spirit of God, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, if he is now living in you, Paul says, you, however, are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So starve that part of you that is not willing to submit to the Father's will. Starve that part of you that wants to give in to temptation instead of running away from it. Fast from food. Fast from TV. Fast from the internet. Fast from social media. Fast from your Twitter account. Take the time that you would tweet and read the text, read the Word of God, or use the time that you would scroll through Facebook and get some FaceTime with your Father. Start feeding your spirit. Feed that part of you that wants to submit itself to God. Feed that part of you that is willing to obey. Feed that part of you that wants to follow the Father's leading. Feed your spirit, fuel your spirit, strengthen that part of you that wants to submit itself to the Father's will. And because the Spirit is willing. And so we do spiritual exercise or spiritual disciplines like prayer, the reading of the Word, even serving together, even when you came together last week to pack 60 boxes, serving together side by side in order for us to touch the lives of 60 individuals, that in itself is a spiritual discipline. If you want to read more about spiritual exercises and spiritual disciplines, there's a classic by Richard Foster called The Celebration of Discipline, and it goes through some of those spiritual exercises that you can do to strengthen your spirit, because it's the Spirit that is willing to obey the Father. And he says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Temptation is simply that which draws us away from full devotion to Jesus Christ. And we can be tempted in a variety of ways to do a variety of things. But one of the ways in which we're tempted is we are tempted when we are dragged away by our own evil desires and enticed. James says, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So we can be tempted by our own evil desires, but this is not the way that Jesus was tempted. Jesus himself was tempted by Satan, and you can read those accounts. But Jesus was tempted by Satan not to submit himself to the Father. In fact, all Satan wants to do is draw our love and attention and our full devotion away from God and onto himself. And he knows that you're not going to bow down before him and worship Satan. So what he tries to do is just simply draw your attention away from God the Father. And Luke 4:13 says that when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until what? An opportune time. He looks for opportunities to bring us down. Now, let me just let you in on a little secret. Satan cannot be everywhere all the time. He is a created being. He is an angel. So I'm guessing that he probably has delegated these tasks to his underlings. And so when we're battling temptation, sometimes we are battling not just temptation from within, but also temptation from without. And he looks for an opportunity. He looks for opportune moments. And this is why we have to guard our lives with spiritual understanding and discernment. This is why we need to remain awake and alert, to be not sleeping, through prayerful watchfulness. We need to keep watch for danger through disciplined, active diligence and vigilance. knowing this, that there is no temptation, test, or trial that has come upon any one of us that is not common to all of us. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted, tested, and tried beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that we can escape. Jesus Christ is the way of escape. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Are you being tempted, tested, and tried in some way this morning? Have you been tempted, tested, and tried at some point this week? Know that the way out, the way of escape, is Jesus Christ, himself suffering when he was tempted. But because that's the case, he is able to help you when you are being tempted, tested, and tried. A little bit later in Hebrews, it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who is ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. And let's read this together. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. All of us get tempted, tested, and tried in some way. Jesus knew this about Peter, and he knows that about us. And he says, watch and pray that you may not fall into temptation, because the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. So keep watch. Be on guard. Be not sleeping, knowing that we can approach God's throne through prayer with confidence and go to him when we are in need, when we need the strength to not give up, when we need the strength when we're facing temptation. When we are in that time of need, we have a high priest who has been tempted, tested, and tried in every way that we have been, and yet he did not sin. We can go to him, and he can help us in our time of need. This week, I want you to ask yourself one thing. What do I need to do this week to feed my spirit? When am I going to feed my spirit? Who am I going to tell so that I can have some accountability for this? And can I, as Jesus challenged Peter, take 1 hour this week? I'm going to set aside 1 hour this week just to be with Jesus. Whether that's reading the word, praying, taking an old hymnal, worshiping, whatever it might be, could I for 1 hour this week keep watch, stay alert, be not sleeping? And then what area of your life do you need to watch over more closely? So one, what do I need to do this week to feed my spirit? And two, what area of your life do you need to watch more closely? This time I want to have some music just played in the background as you think through those couple questions. We're going to receive our morning's offering, and if there's any way in which you want prayer, you can put that on your response card. If, as I've been teaching, you've been sensing that you don't have the Spirit of God living in you, that you have never submitted your life to Jesus Christ, and you've never responded to his free gift of salvation, if you want to know what that's about, you can also check that off on your response card as well. And I would love to talk to you about that. Let's pray. Father, as we are receiving our offerings this morning, I know that what you want from us is to receive our hearts. And I pray that this week, Lord, that we wouldn't be tempted, enticed away from full devotion to you, but Lord, that we would stay on the alert and be on guard and be watchful, so that we might follow you and love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Be with us as we give, Father, and speak to us. Amen.